My name is Side Lessons from the Lay Parshas Toldos. A few shocked people in the audience. First of all, Yishkoyach, thank you very much for allowing me to give it today on my way out, on your way to Eilat, and to greet my dear friends who I haven't seen for a week. So Yishkoyach to you, I had the schuss of last week giving lessons from the Lev, right outside the YU Beis Medrash. Mitz Hashem, I should be zeichet to do that in a few weeks when I'm back. But for you, hopefully a positive message. I'll be very honest. Last Monday, I dedicated our thoughts to, of course, the 11 Kedoshim who died al Kiddush Hashem in Pittsburgh. And my message was geared towards that. But to be honest, I only had one day to digest the magnitude of this terrible tragedy. And so this morning, I wanted to discuss it once again, a lesson that we could learn. And if I can, I would also like to include, probably not on your minds, but on my mind, something I've been thinking about a lot, the election that took place here in Beit Shemesh, where Benisim v'Niflos, Eliza Block, won against all odds. So we will maybe include both of them, because I think they involve the same thing. So in the Parsha, probably the most famous, and this shir normally for the Shana Aleph guys is supposed to be on business and halacha, so I will give you the first business and halacha topic ever, was a shaila, an ethical dilemma that our dear Yaakov faced. And that was, his mother tells him to lie. His mother tells him to disguise himself. Isn't that the quintessential Gnevas Das? Right? Don't we know, the halacha tells us, that Ishimo v'Yavivitiro v'Es Shapsos Yishmaro. You can honor your father and mother, but until they tell you to do something wrong. Baruch Hashem, we have a father who never tells a son to do anything against the Torah, but there are such things involved in the world. Kids that get home from Israel and their parents say, no, do this, do that. Well, that's for a different discussion. But the business side of it is that Yaakov was stuck with a dilemma. Yaakov was titein emes liYaakov. His midah was emes. He was the combination of his father and grandfather. Chesed and gvura were combined to true emes. And now he has to do this. How difficult it is. And we'll see the difficulty that he had in it. Says his mom, uh-oh, we got a problem. She realizes, obviously, very early on in her pregnancy, unfortunately, that she didn't know she was having twins, shnei goyim bitnech, that there are two. It wasn't a schizophrenic child, but a child, one who would be interested in the wrong thing and one who would be interested in Torah and mitzvahs. And now she develops this scheme, knowing that her husband wants to bless Esav, and she tells Yaakov to go out. Amr el Yaakov bina lamar inei shamati esavicha. I heard your father midaber el Esav achicha lomar vein letzayid viaseli matamim viachol viavirchan. I'm going to give you the bracha for the Hashem. You go out and you dress like him, and you're going to smell like him. And shtei gidim viyetzli avicha. And you will go ahead and dress like him and bring him the food that he wants. So says Vayoma Yaakov el Rivka Imo Hein Esav Achi Asher Anochi Ish Chalak. He says, I got a problem here. My brother is hairy, and I'm an Ish Chalak. Right? That could be a metaphor for something as well. I'm a straight shooter. There's no, don't worry. And then he says, Ulai, maybe my father Yimashuni, he's going to touch me. Aviv, Isi Be'anech, he's going to know the ruse is up. So obviously that's when she says, you're going to actually dress like him. You're going to put on hairy clothing. So the Gra comments on the word ulai. And he says the word ulai in the Torah refers to perhaps, right? Perhaps, as the Artsko writes, is a context of actually positive anticipation. Something good. For example, Avram Avinu says, Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim b'tzdom. He says that maybe, in a positive way, I'll be able to save the city. There's the tzadikim here. So the Gra says, how do we explain this? Why would Yaakov, in a positive, say, maybe my father will know what I was doing? So this makes sense, says the Gra, because of who Yaakov was. He says, I have an ethical dilemma. My mother's telling me to do something which is wrong, not just mitzad, I'm tricking my father. It's not who I am. It's not my nature. I'm an Ish Emes. But my mother obviously has Ruach HaKodesh, different than, you know, as a good parent, you come back from Shana Aleph and you say, you know, I want to come back Shana Bet. And your father says, I know Ruach HaKodesh that you can't come back. It's also for you to come back, right? We're not giving any examples or anything. It's obvious that you will be able to go back Shana Bet. If not, you go to Rav Chaim, you speak to somebody else, you go to Rav Chaim, you get a bracha, you'll be fine. So, in any case, so the Ulai is, I hope to get caught, says the Gra. Why? Because he's ready to forgo this great bracha that he knows he needs for his nation, rather than insulting his father's honor and carry out this deception. He will be following his mother's edict, be doing it, but he hopes to get caught. Because he'll be able to do kibud aim, the kibud av, in this way. Very interesting. Then the pasuk continues, and it happens, and he gets there, and you can imagine how nervous he is. And what does the father say? Hakol kol Yaakov aval hayadayim idei Esav. Uh-oh. He's got a problem. So, Hakol kol Yaakov. This kol of Yaakov is the kol that we have that is different than any voice than any other nation has. The kol of Yaakov, the kol of Emes, is our kol of Torah, kol of Tefillah, is very distinguished. And in Yaakov's voice, even though he could have disguised it, it's interesting because the Ramban, on the pasuk we just read, Olai Yamshuni, says that he was his brother, it was his twin brother. He actually did sound like him, right? Vocally, they sounded alike. And that's not what he's afraid of. So what was he afraid of then? What does it mean, Hakol kol Yaakov? What did the father know? So we know he always spoke B'Shem Hashem. Not like we speak, excuse me for saying, how you doing? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We don't even know what we're saying. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. That's all we say. Baruch Hashem. Right? Go to girl seminary, forget about it. Baruch Hashem. It's Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So, one of my, somebody that I work with told me something funny. Her daughter's in Israel for the year. So after a few weeks, I said, how's your daughter doing? She goes, I think she's doing amazing. For the first time ever, when I asked her how she was doing, you know what she said to me? Baruch Hashem. Must be amazing. I go, no, that's the Avir there. It's Israel. Doesn't mean anything. She's probably still partying. Anyway, so, was that wrong? Sorry, okay. But Yaakov Avinu meant it. He always invokes Shem Hashem. Anytime he got a compliment, he says, it's not me, it's Shashem. And the way that he spoke was soft and gentle. That's who he was. Esav only believed in himself. He believed in his own strengths. He believed that everything came from himself. He is who he is today, side with feet, because of his accomplishments. And that was something that his father, Yitzchak, actually recognized. The Midrash tells us something very interesting. The Midrash says that Yaakov Avinu was like a raven who is carrying burning hot coals and successfully going from place to place to bring this hot coals to a certain place, but is burning his wings in the process. What does it mean? Because, says the Medrash, it was painstaking for him to be able to talk inappropriately. He couldn't do it. It wasn't part of his being. He couldn't fake an accent. So we just said, the Ramban says it wasn't an accent he was faking. He sounded like his brother. But he couldn't speak like his brother the way that he spoke without B'Shem Hashem. He couldn't be soft-spoken the way it should be. But comes along the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, and he says, Yaakov, as we said in our first idea from the Gra, he realized that he might get caught. But he couldn't not get caught. He couldn't lie in that way that he was going to not use Shem Hashem and not speak the appropriate way that he spoke, that everybody knew who he was. You weren't able to tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav because of the way that they spoke, their tone of their voice. It was the same. But the way that they spoke, the gentle nature, the kind nature, the caring nature, that was only Yaakov Avinu. And his father picked up on it right away. He recognized Hashem in all that he did, says the Imre Emes. It's easy for us to say, Baruch Hashem, but do we mean it? Is Hashem really with us? This is the component that was a natural element in the life of Yaakov Avinu. It was something that was so ingrained in him, he couldn't change this midah, how fortunate he was. Sifcha Bonim of Peshescha says, don't make a mistake. This is a really important part. Very important thing, because many of us don't think of this because of what we learned in kindergarten. And in kindergarten, we learned this grand idea of who was Esav. And maybe we even saw in, you know, pictures, I don't know, in different, I don't want to say names of books, like the Midrash says, but things like that. And it shows Esav, oh, that's the bad guy. Look at him. Look what he looks like. Says the Imrei Emet, sorry, for Simcha Bonim says, no. That's not true. He was no criminal. He says, he looked like a Talmud Chacham. To be extreme, I didn't say this, he says this, he was wearing a bekesha. He had the long beard. He had the strimal. He looked like a Rebbe. He gave Divrei Torah and Shal Shudis. He asked Shalos of Chumus that was Ein Kamoyo to his father. Chumus of Maishu, some salt. What great kashas he had. But he was missing one integral element. And that was his speech, his nature of who he was, his midos. Maybe the bulb turned on in Yitzchak and he said, oh my. He might have these midos outwardly of looking like a frum person, of acting like a frum person, but the speech, the person who he is, that defines a Jew, and that is no Jew. The Maharal says that anyone can say Baruch Hashem. Anyone can fake it and include God in his life. Anyone can pretend that I'm doing this for the Ribbono Shalom. This is Milchemes Mitzvah. This is a Milchemes Hashem. It's mutter for me to do it. It's Pekuach Nefesh. We have to do this. But Midos Tovus, the way that we act, defines us, defines our being of who we are. And this comes to a front at what we experienced, and I don't mean to belittle it, but maybe being here in the cocoon of Eretz Yisrael, of your Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, you didn't feel it as much as happened to be in America. I had heard all about it on Shabbos from our kitchen workers who were giving us the play-by-play, Rachmanu Litzlan, of what was happening in the shul. And afterwards, I happened to be, my phone broke, so right after Shabbos I had to go. I was in Connecticut, I had to go to a local mall. And I couldn't believe it. Two people came up to me in the mall. Two people came up to me and said, I'm sorry for your loss. And it meant so much to me because what it meant to me was they understood who we were. Can you imagine for a moment, Rahman al-Litzlan, terrible, terrible, the shooting in Las Vegas, the shooting in Florida, Nebuch. If you would go up to another person in the mall who wasn't Jewish and said, I'm sorry for your loss. Like, what loss? What are you talking about? No, there was another Christian person. You're Christian, I'm sorry. But they understood, the Gentile nation understands, it's my brother. I'm with him. It's like, I can't explain it to you. But they get it. They understand how close we are. We probably didn't know one person who was murdered. And when we started to hear the stories, and Rabbi said, if you haven't, you can spend that time on your trip to Eilat. Learn the stories of these Kedoshim. Rachman al-Litzlan, it seems to always happen that it's not stam people that the Ribbono Shalom takes away, but great people. The two brothers, the greeters with special needs, but always had a smile. And the Holocaust survivor, 97 years old, Rachman al-Litzlan, who was saved from the Holocaust and killed again. The first time she was killed was going through the depths of the Holocaust. And now again, in the safe America, by the same type of person with those beliefs. And a doctor who saved lives, v'chulu, v'chulu. But one thing that came from this was, and unfortunately, it only comes in this time, it seems, what we all should be doing of achdus. And I've been researching this, listening to many different shurim of great rabbis, and there's been an outpouring of beautiful, beautiful sentiments from all different organizations writing letters and statements. But, and I shouldn't be surprised by this, and I apologize that I'm surprised, that I shouldn't be surprised. Two great rabbis that stand out to me in their words, I haven't heard everyone, so please don't, you know, is that of Rav Eitan Feiner, the rabbi of the White Shul, place I had my bar mitzvah, and Rav Moshe Weinberger. Very different discourses. Rav Moshe Weinberger goes to task on some people who came out seemingly calling themselves rabbis, even gedolim, and saying horrible things that it's even difficult for me to say. Certainly to say in a makom that has Sifrei Torah. To say, well, what did you expect? There were Mechalei Shabbos v'Var Hesya. What do you expect? What was going on? Do you know it wasn't just a baby naming? It was two men that adopted a child. Chaman el Tzlan, says Rav Moshe Weinberger. This is what you concentrate on? When a Jew is murdered because he's a Jew, it stops there. What a great line Rav Moshe Weinberger says. It stops right there. It's dead in its tracks. That's it. It's done. We don't discuss anything else. We don't talk about, oh, where'd they go to shul? What were they doing? Was there mechitza? No. Who cares? They were Jewish. They died because they were Jewish. Do you recognize what that means? Do you know who Yaakov Avinu was? Do you know what he would go through? He would now have the shiftei kaf for the first time. Not his father, not his grandfather. He would have complete children that won't go off the derech. But oh, were they different. The shiftei kaf. The Shvatim, which at Yitzias Mitzrayim left 12 different ways for each Shevet, for each type of Jew that they were. Let us not forget Yaakov Avinu. This was the test he had. But his sons would have the ultimate test. Yosef, today we still suffer. The achdus that we lack is because of what happened with Mechiras Yosef. We remember it on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. It is the lack of achdus that we have. Says Rav Eitan Feiner the same thing. Avraham Avinu was the Ish Chesed. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I believe, Lamed Tes Amud Beis. But it says Ovadia was even on a higher level because his emunah and faith in Hashem was for all of the klal. He saved people. And that was different than Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says this. I don't say this. Because he felt as Moshe Rabbeinu would be the leader of Klal Yisrael in the first time we meet him. What does it say? He saw Tzivloisim Ben Yisrael. He felt them. Before he did anything, he says, I just feel them. Forget about answering. What can we do? Do I feel the Jews were murdered? If I don't feel that, so then there's something difficult that's missing. Very difficult, Rabbi said, that's missing. Forget about the politics of it. And here in Beit Shemesh, in my humble opinion, we saw the Yad of Hashem, which teaches us a lot about not believing in ourselves and saying, forget about it. This woman, against all odds, went door to door, literally, garnering votes, phone calls. She had the city split up perfectly, people calling. But what's the response? What's the response of the wonderful Jews that maybe didn't get the account today? Did they write a letter saying we're now going to protest and not join the government unless we get everything we want and get jobs back so that we can work in the area? But do we say, no? Maybe we should ba'achdus. Maybe we should, this is a good sign for us that we should work ba'achdus. That every Jew is a Jew no matter what. I want to quote for you something beautiful, not surprisingly, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So beautiful, I'm sure you might have heard this before. A letter that the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote to a woman who used the term Orthodox Judaism. The Rebbe wrote, I must point out to you that splitting Judaism into Orthodox conservative reform is purely an artificial division. For all Jews share one and the same Torah, given by one and the same God, while there are more observant Jews and less observant Jews. To tack on a label does not change the reality that we are all one. Who knew this better than the great Lubavitcher Rebbe in his belief that all Jews must be one, and we have a mission not to make them frum necessarily, but to make them more aware, to show them the great gift that we have in understanding what the beauty of Torah is. I don't know, we spoke a little bit 2 weeks ago about my trip. So one thing that stands out to me, these 200 men, they had this chus of helping lead. So on Friday morning, they get their first experience of Torah. And we go into a large room, happened to be in the house of the chief rabbinate. And we go in there, and for the first time, they open up a Gemara. It happens to be not easy stuff, Gemara that you guys are learning. I don't have to tell you, it's not easy. And for an hour, they're learning with a great Kollel Jungerman from Reb Berkovitz's Kollel. And unfortunately, it's my job after an hour to be like, all right, guys, it's time to finish learning, which I knew would be easy because these guys, they're not going to want to learn Torah. And I literally get up there, I go, okay, 5 more minutes. And all of a sudden, I heard just screams. No, no, we want to learn more, we want to learn more. And here's this frum guy saying, no, I'm the Roman, stop learning Torah. You know, it's very hard for me. But what happened? They're screaming that they understand what a base measure is just now. They're all screaming at each other, not letting the other person go. And they said, ah, they're exposed to Torah. And afterwards, I think the highest reviews that we received, that, oh, the learning was amazing. What smart individuals. Oh, that was awesome. I love that Talmud. That was a great piece of Talmud we learned. Can you imagine? Someone who never learned Torah in their life. That's what our job is, Rabbi Yisrael. We are all one. We are all Jews. Why does it have to take the murder of 11 people? Why? Why does it have to take winning an election to say, you know what, there's something wrong here. The Rebbe Shalom is giving us a message. Why can't we be ba'achdus? Why can't we care about every single individual? We should be zeicher Rabbi Yisrael to a great bracha, the bracha of achdus, the bracha that we will start learning in the parshios that we are dealing with, of the brothers of Yaakov, and unfortunately what seemingly they were lacking in understanding to achdus as being the shiftei ka, the shiftei Hashem, is recognizing we're all different, but we all come from one Avinu Malkeinu, one God. And it is that joint orchestra that joins us together in the service of God. I've said this many times, the importance of minyan, the reason why it bothers someone like myself when you're on your phone and you're davening, why should I care? It's because it's your qualities that I don't have that you can bring to the table and bring my tefillahs. My davening for the Chayla, because you're in the minyan and you are, into the Rabbanu Shalom's eyes, better at this specific midah, if you're busy on your phone now, you can't bring those great midos out. So I'm lacking because you are not concentrating on tefillah the way it should be. We are one orchestra that joins together, that davens, that learns together. We should look at every single Jew with that quality that they can bring that we don't have. I'm sure you had that conversation with the cab driver at least once so far in your year in Israel. And you say, how's that guy not wearing a yarmulke? He's so much firmer than I am. He's telling me about the godless of Eretz Yisrael, of Hashem, and look at me with the yarmulke on, and I'm so frum. Huh? Learn these lessons, Rabbi Yisrael, because it is through the achdus of Klal Yisrael, b'tzion, b'mishpat tipodeh, the Rabbanu Shalom will bring us back through our achdus and recognizing the beauty in every Jew, and in Mirtz Hashem we should see Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera v'yameinu.